This is VOA News, coming to you by remote. I'm Gene Randall. There has been another diplomatic breakthrough in the Middle East. U.S. President Donald Trump has announced that Bahrain has become the latest Arab nation to agree to normalize ties with Israel. Mr. Trump unveiled the news following a three-way phone call he says he had with Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu and Bahrain's King Hamad bin Al Khalifa. The agreement comes less than 2 weeks after the United Arab Emirates and Israel came to terms on their recognition deal. Both President Trump and his Democratic November opponent, Joe Biden, today are marking the anniversary of the 9/11 attacks on the United States. The event site, Shanksville, Pennsylvania, where one of the planes in the 2001 terrorist assault came down. Mr. Trump was there a few hours ago with the First Lady. Mr. Biden began his day at the World Trade Center Memorial in New York, where he and Vice President Mike Pence exchanged greetings. The Sri Lanka Navy says it is still trying to plug a fuel leak from the fire-stricken New Diamond Oil supertanker. Carrying about 2 million barrels of oil, the vessel caught fire 2 weeks ago and is about 45 nautical miles off Sri Lanka's east coast in the Indian Ocean. The fire has been put out, but when the ship was towed out to sea, it left a trail of fuel oil. Authorities are working to prevent the kind of environmental damage suffered by the African island nation of Mauritius after a Japanese bulk carrier struck a coral reef off its coast in July. Reports so far indicate the New Diamond's crude oil cargo remains intact. Colombia's defense minister today apologized for an incident of police brutality that sparked 2 nights of protests in the city of Bogota and the satellite city of Soacha, leaving 11 dead and hundreds injured. Demonstrators have taken to the streets for consecutive nights after this week's death of a 46-year-old man. A widely shared video showed the father of two being repeatedly shot with a stun gun by police. He died later at a hospital. Two police officers implicated in the death faced charges of abusing authority and homicide. Via remote, this is VOA News. Here in the U.S., a huge Northern California wildfire has become the state's deadliest blaze of the year. 10 people are confirmed dead. At least 16 others are missing. 4 victims are in critical condition with burns. Evacuees, in many cases, have had to flee for their lives. The flames north of San Francisco have destroyed an estimated 2,000 homes and other buildings. Damage assessment teams are in the field today doing a methodical search of scorched areas. Nearly 30 major wildfires stretch from the border of Oregon south through California all the way to the Mexican frontier. California has lost an estimated 3.1 million acres to the fires. India today reported another daily record of new coronavirus infections, more than 96,000, taking its caseload above 4.5 million, with a loss of some 76,000 lives. Today's fatality toll is put at 1,209. The Jerusalem Post is reporting Israel is headed toward another coronavirus shutdown. This as the country reports a single-day new infection count of more than 4,000. Israel has seen nearly 149,000 virus cases and about 1,100 fatalities. Worldwide, the figures from Johns Hopkins University, a pandemic case count of 28.2 million with 910,000 deaths. The numbers here in the U.S., 6.4 million COVID infections and nearly 192,000 fatalities. Russia says its police have traced opposition politician Alexei Navalny's movements and what he drank before falling ill on a flight from Siberia to Moscow last month. Further, it says there are efforts to locate a witness who has left the country. The Kremlin's Interior Ministry says it will ask again for legal assistance from Germany, where Navalny was airlifted after what Berlin says was a critical illness caused by the Russian nerve agent Novichok. The Siberian Transport Department says it wants to send investigators to Germany. The 44-year-old Navalny, meanwhile, has emerged from a coma. China has announced limits on staff members at the U.S. Embassy in Beijing and the American consulates in mainland China and Hong Kong. Responding to U.S. measures imposed earlier this month, China's foreign ministry described its move as reciprocal. Last week, Washington said senior Chinese diplomats would need State Department approval to visit university campuses or hold cultural events with more than 50 people outside mission grounds. Japan's National Security Council will apparently consider a proposed policy change that could, for the first time, allow Japan's military to plan for strikes on land targets in Asia, initiated by Prime Minister Shinzo Abe months before he announced his retirement. If adopted, the policy would mark one of the most important shifts in Japan's military stance since the end of World War II. More news online at voanews.com. Via remote, I'm Gene Randall, and this is VOA News.